All right, welcome everybody. Today is March 2nd, 2023. It is 3-2-2-0-2-3.
Oh, wow.
Who's looking at that? 3-2-2-0-2-3. If anybody's interested, that's 13. That's a 1-3. That's a 4. Anyway, today is Critically Thinking with Dr. T and Dr. P. Dr. T, welcome. But before we start, remember, our podcast is sponsored by CardioMiracle.com. Please remember, CardioMiracle.com, it's a great product. I take it before my workouts. I take it even after my workouts. And on days when I'm not working out, I still take it. I probably take it like five times a week at least. Go to CardioMiracle.com, get your CT15 code for your 15% off your first order. Keep buying it. It's great for heart health. It decreases pain. It increases energy. It'll improve your mitochondria. And it has lots of antioxidants in it to help remove the byproducts of oxidation. Dr. T, how are you this evening? I heard you had a little bit of surgery.
I did.
Are you with us, or are you a little drugged?
Oh no, that was last Saturday. I've taken a lot of leave, actually. It's just really trying to it's on here.
Yeah.
It's a lot less swollen. It was the size of a golf ball at least, and it was hot and red. Yeah. And it was a really brutal surgery. It was really brutal.
Yeah.
It was not just your, no big deal. Just had a tooth pulled. Mm-mm, not this.
Oh, not this. Mm-mm. Lori did it?
No.
Oh,
okay. Nope, I had somebody else do it.
So I just want to give a message to everyone who's listening. Please remind your kids, take care of your teeth early, because as you get older, it comes back to kick you in the proverbial butt. So please, please get your kids to take care of their teeth early. So Dr. T, I don't have a lot of sports stuff to talk about. There's just a lot of rumblings. The NBA is down the stretch. There's a basketball player on Alabama who in the middle of January was called at 2 a.m. by one of his teammates to bring him his pistol, his joint, as he said it in the text. Please bring me my joint. And the basketball player got up, left, brought the gun to the owner, which is one of his teammates. And lo and behold, a 23-year-old girl was killed, leaving a 5-year-old boy without his mom. And the sports world is blasting this conversation all over the place because they're trying to figure out, should there be some kind of penalty for this guy? And the Alabama police have actually said, and the district attorneys have said, we don't have anything to actually pull him in for. There's nothing that they can accuse him for. But
he called for his gun. Somebody brought him a gun and the girl killed herself?
No.
No.
There's an Alabama team, Alabama college player named Brandon Miller, who is on the college basketball team, was texted by one of his teammates that the teammate wanted his joint. So Brandon Miller brought the gun to his teammate. And lo and behold, the gun was used to murder a 23-year-old young lady.
But they don't know who murdered her?
They do. They got him in custody. But the question is whether or not this ball player is liable or responsible or in any way should be punished. And so far, the law in Alabama says there's nothing that they could try him for or bring him in for. So there's a lot of talk on the sports waves about this guy who, you know, some feel he, you know, because he's going to go into the NBA. He's that good of a player. And so that's the big hullabaloo in sports right now, other than Aaron Rodgers deciding if he's going to stay with the Packers or ask for a trade. Baseball season is heating up. They changed the size of the bases because, you know, the players couldn't see the bases beforehand. So now they're making them bigger.
Is that true?
That was sarcasm.
But is it true that they're making them bigger?
They're making them 15 inches to 18 inches. Yeah.
Instead of what?
15 to 18.
Oh, so 3 inches bigger all the way around?
Around, right.
Why?
I'm not sure I understand the purpose of that.
That's weird, isn't it?
I don't know. It's just, well, they have implemented two very important things. One is a pitch clock and one is a batter's clock. And so when I was a kid, I remember baseball players, that baseball games would be finished in 90 minutes, sometimes 2 hours. And now baseball games before this year were three and a half hours. And they feel that they're losing fans. So now they have a pitch clock where the pitcher has to pitch at a certain limit. Otherwise, they get a ball called against them. And a batter has to get into the batter's box after a certain amount of time. Otherwise, there's a strike called against him.
Well, that's kind of interesting. It's sort of like the clock on basketball.
The
shot clock on basketball that they implemented, you know, it's quite a few years ago now, but it was kind of for the same reason.
Right. And the shot and the clock in football.
Right.
Right. So the games are getting way too long. And of course they're afraid now because nobody could pay attention to anything anymore. They need to make the game shorter to bring more people in.
Interesting. Now that is interesting.
So that's my sports for the day.
All righty.
So, Dr. T, is there anything you'd like to talk about today?
I'd like to play this little video of this gal.
Okay.
Can I play a little video?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think this will be a good jumping off point of a place to talk.
Okay.
Let's see. Hold on a second. Let me get this. Let me get the volume going here.
Okay.
Can you guys hear that?
No.
Can't hear or see it.
Should I start over?
Yeah. Why don't you send it to me? Because I think I have it. I just can't find it. No, send it to me. No, send it to me. I'll do it.
Okay.
I know I have it, but I don't know where.
Okay. All right. Let me see. How can I do this? Because it's on my WhatsApp. So let me see if I can do this. Let me see. I think this is the link. Link. Let me send it here. So I'm sending this to you on your just regular text.
Yes, please. Okay. Sorry for the delay, guys. I actually watched this.
There, you should have it in a second.
You want me to try to pull it up and share?
No, I got it. I got it. We'll get it. Thank you. Oh, satellites. Yeah, I think I played this today on our thread.
I got it on my WhatsApp list.
Ah, Twitter. Brought to you by Cardio Miracle.
Hey. I'm not 100% sure why I'm being asked to share the story, but I'm guessing it's because somebody needs to hear it. When I was 16, I went into what I thought was going to be a normal day at biology class. And when I walked in, all the desks were arranged in a circle in the middle of the room. And the instructor, who had always been a really amazing, loving, kind instructor, was super militant, super scary, and just looked at us and said, sit down, shut up. You are not allowed to move, to speak at all. And anyone who does will immediately fail my class. And we were all stunned. I get like, just thinking about it, because I was a straight A student and grades were really important to me. And I was just like terrified. So we're all sitting there silently, nervous out of our minds. And in the middle of this circle that we were all sitting in, there was one desk. And on this desk was a bowl with a goldfish in it. And he looked at us and he took the goldfish and he put it on the desk and he walked out and he shut the door. And we all just looked at each other, just like, what do we do? You know, like, obviously it violated like everything inside of me to like watch this fish die. And also I heard the instruction. If you speak, if you get up, if you move, you will automatically fail the class. And so we all sat there looking to each other to do something because we didn't want it to be us. And what was a very painful, it felt like an eternity, it was probably like 2.5 minutes later, Hannah B, got up and said, fuck this, and took the goldfish and put it back in the bowl. And when she did that, he came out and he looked at all of us and he said, look what the world has done to you. You betrayed yourself. For what? And I think about that lesson all the time because I learned in that moment that I am never going to be that person ever again. That when I see something that is wrong, even if it's just me, I'm going to stand up and I'm going to do what's right. And I've done that over and over again in my life in very scary situations. But I'm sad for people who haven't learned that lesson, because there's so many things that are wrong that if you're too scared to make a difference, you won't make right.
Go for it.
I just thought that was really powerful. I wonder what if the instructions had been, if any one of you stand up to intervene, you all fail the course. What would they have done to Hannah B as she stood up and said, screw it, I'm putting the goldfish back in the jar?
Right.
You know, I mean, that would have been a different learning experience.
Sure.
And interface with all of the students that were there, because the students that were there saw this one person stand up and say, stand up against all of it and say, I don't care what happens to me. I'm going to make right and not let this happen. But what would have happened if the instructions would have been, if any one of you gets up to intervene, you all fail?
How is that different from what the Jews did with Jesus giving him up to the Romans? Because the Romans had decreed that any political uprising, you will all die. And Jesus was creating political unrest. And so the Jews turned him over to the Romans because they were afraid that if he kept going, all of them would die.
Yep. I just thought that that was really very powerful. And in light of what's happening today and what we see around us, and people aren't willing to stand up or say things or ask people, why are you still wearing that mask? Or what are you going to do when they come after you? Or what's going to happen in the event, you know, just like saying all of these things that you see, we all see it. I'm as guilty of it as the next person, you know, of saying, oh, well, you know, it's their right. They can do what they want. If they want to wear a mask, I guess it's okay. Except for every single person who does it continues to contribute to the tyranny. Every single person.
How is that any different from someone who got the shot because they wanted to go on a cruise? or someone who got the shot because they wanted to go to a Broadway show, or someone who got the shot because they wanted to go to college.
Or see their grandkids, or, you know, whatever. Fill in the blank.
I had a call with a mother this week who's moving back into Manhattan from Long Island. And her five-year-old is going to go to a private school. And all of the private schools in Manhattan are mandating the COVID shot.
No way.
All of the private schools. So I said to the mother, I said, well, what are you going to do? Now, she herself got the shot and was very sick after it. And I said, so are you willing to put your daughter up to that as well? And it's, but you and I have seen this over 20 plus years of how many people were willing to send their kid to school, and only through the injection of these materials, having nothing to do with being able to function in school, having nothing to do with scholastic achievement, but having to do with tyranny. I mean, the school policies have been tyrannical for decades as well. So there's so many levels of compliance that we have allowed in our society over the decades. And, you know, they just kept squeezing and squeezing and squeezing and squeezing. And, you know, it is a race to the finish to see, you know, I mean, the WHO is going to, you know, decide on the international health regulations. And so here we have the potential for an international body, unelected, that's going to have sovereignty over the United States and be able to decide health policy and what needs to happen in this country. And you wonder, what are people going to do? You also wonder, what are people going to do if they come along and do these smart cities, these 15-minute cities? What are people going to do if their bank accounts are tied to a digital ID or a vaccine passport? What are they going to do? What are they going to do if the only way that they could pay for something is with a chip that's, you know, embedded into the skin, that they just go like this on their way out the door? What are they going to do with this Neuralink, which, and this AI? I mean, everyone's getting obsessed with this Chat GPT now. And it's just unbelievable how far the human being, or human creature, I don't know what it is willing to go to fit in, be part of, go with the advances. You know, like, have you ever seen the questionnaires, Sherry, about, you know, are you one of those people that if a new product comes out, are you the first one who buys it? Are you the second one who buys it? How long before you purchase something new that's been brought on the market? And even when I was like this high, can't go down to the floor, I saw people doing things and I knew to go the other way. I just knew people were buying a certain sneaker. You bet I didn't buy that sneaker. You bet I bought something different because I knew I was never going to fall in. Now, it doesn't mean that I haven't fallen in line. We all have. I own it and I work on it every day. But you have to wonder, you know, how long it's going to take before people look at the dead horse in their lawn or the elephant in the room or the emperor with no clothes and say, you know what? Enough of this shit. We're done.
So where are you on that scale, Larry?
In what? What do you mean?
On that scale, are you the first one to buy, the second one to buy, the last one to buy? Where are you?
I'm sometimes the person who never buys.
Hmm.
You know, when the iPhones come out, I'm like 4 or 5 iPhones behind.
I can't even tell you how many iPhones behind I am. Really, seriously.
And I'm not updating my software because there's now a tracker in the battery health. that allows them to really tap into your phone. So, you know, be mindful of these things. It's all over.
I would say on a lot of other things, you know, because there's that expression in medicine where they say from the first time something is published in a publication to where it's widely and generally adapted, it's 17 years.
Really?
That's pretty fairly well studied. You know, that somebody comes out with a new treatment therapy or a new gizmo, you know, something that really, and they publish it and they do the research and it probably is something that's good. Before physicians change and before it becomes widely adapted, it's generally 17 years.
I mean, did that happen with Vioxx or the statins?
Or the shots?
I think they were sooner than that, don't you think? Yeah, I mean, certainly the COVID shot was sooner.
It's probably anything, I don't know the real story behind that, but I would suspect it would be anything that's really good for humanity and good for patients. It takes them 17 years to adopt. But if it's a new drug or a new vaccine or something like that, it's right away, you know, it takes right away. I would say on that scale, I tend to be the person that's I'm not the first one to jump on the bandwagon, but I don't want to be the last one to get off the wagon either. You know, I don't want to be the very, very, very last adopter unless I'm just like from the beginning going, I'm not doing that from the very beginning.
I hear you. When I see the mass movement, I just know, oh, wait a second. There's not a lot of thought here. There's just not a lot of thought.
So you want to go through some of the questions that are in here?
Yeah, I want to hit a topic though.
Okay.
I want to hit a topic, and it's because this is something that one of our colleagues posted on our thread, and I heard it somewhere else as well. And so that's why I want to read it.
Okay.
According to Nathaniel Rothschild, heir to the Rothschild family fortune, without Ukraine, the global order may not survive. This is a red alert panic call to fellow globalists, saying that if Ukraine were to fall, then so would the New World Order. They are literally begging for military reinforcements from other globalist nation states to aid in saving Ukraine for the New World Order agenda. This is incredibly telling, especially knowing about the US-funded biolabs, preventing the next pandemic. He also said that Xi was a close second to being the world's most dangerous man next to Putin. That confirms my belief regarding Xi. George Soros said the same thing. It should be abundantly clear by now that Putin and Xi are single-handedly destroying the New World Order, and they, the globalists, are absolutely terrified about it. So not too long ago, Lee was on, I don't know if she was on with us or just on with me, but she had said that there were reports of Russian and Chinese ships near the United States water borders, both on the east in the Atlantic and on the west in the Pacific. And we've heard these stories of 200,000 troops, Chinese troops, at the Canada-America border and others at the southern border in Mexico. And the possibility was raised that actually the Russians and the Chinese are working together. And we do know that Xi was, his father was murdered by the higher ups in the Communist Party. And so there's interesting positioning of what he's up to. But there was a proposal, and I'm curious what your perspective is on this, if you have one, that the Russians and the Chinese could potentially invade the United States to save us from our enemies within.
Wow.
all postulation, all interesting, all theory. But again, you know, when you think about something like this and you wonder, how is this all going to end? I just wonder.
I saw an article today that Zelensky, who just got another $100 billion of our money, was saying that, you know, Americans have to send their kids to die in Ukraine. And, you know, I saw I'm on this WhatsApp list. It's pretty active. It's pretty busy. Listen, the guy who's in charge of the list just recently brought in some new people, and it's like really, really busy. It's like, you know, it takes a lot more time now because I'll wake up because they're in the UK. Most of the people are in the UK. And so I'll wake up in the morning when I open it to see, you know, who posted overnight. There'll be 87 messages in there. And I mean, and that'll happen a couple times a day. Right. And a lot of them are Twitter links and stuff like that. So sometimes you just skim past them in that. But, you know, there's a lot of discussion about Russia and Ukraine and stuff that goes on because they're there. I mean, they're their neighbors, right? I mean, if there's bombs dropping, I mean, that's right in their neighborhood. And so it's interesting to think about, you know, to listen to some of the conversations of what they're talking about. And it's and there was a link that was in there from, I don't know, maybe it was Monday. It was sometime this week. It was a Tucker Carlson Tonight thing. And he went through this little tirade and it was really good. And he was talking about, you know, that Janet Yellen, you know, our 80-something-year-old, 83-year-old head of our Federal Reserve, you know, went traipsing to Ukraine to tell them that they were there to give them anything that they wanted, you know, and any money that they wanted. And that so far we've given, just in the last few months, $123 billion to Ukraine. And that doesn't include the military support. So Tucker went through this entire thing, which was very good. He said, you know, what could we use $100 billion for here in the U.S.? And he said, you know, for this year's federal budget for the FAA to fly our airplanes safer, they got $20 billion. And what if in the Amtrak and taking care of our railroads only got $17 billion. I mean, what if we could spend some of that money to make our railroads safer so we weren't having 1,000 train wrecks a year in our country? We could spend $100 billion and pay the entire bill of every single person, their copay of every single person undergoing cancer therapy in this country for 3 years. And he went through and used all of these things of what we could do with that kind of money to take care of our own country and our own people. And we're sending $123 billion to Ukraine and not a nickel to Ohio. And we're starting to hear it now, Larry. We got multiple calls this week of people who live within 25, 30 miles of East Palestine. We got this call Wednesday that really broke my heart. There's this woman who lives 10 miles from where the ground zero was, 10, 15 miles from where they set off the burning. And she has 100% organic farm, 100% organic vegetables and chickens and all this other stuff. Her chickens are sick. Her animals are dying. And her ground is now permanently polluted. She's lost everything. And they were talking about they were out walking through the woods and now finding dead animals in this time of year, deer having babies. And they're just starting to now. It's unbelievable. So people are calling like, what can I do? And what can I take? And, you know, and it's one, you know, they could come to our clinic because, I mean, we're only 80 miles away. But what good does it do for us to treat them and have them drive home?
Back, right.
What are you doing?
I'm looking for something that related to what you're talking about.
Yeah. And so it's like, you know, we've had three more fires here in Cleveland, interestingly. A big one that happened yesterday didn't even make the news. And so it's, I don't know. I mean, that's $123 billion. I mean, write that on a piece of paper. 123,000,000,000 mm-hmm. going over to a place where we don't even belong, fighting the Russians who are doing what they can to eliminate the New World Order. They're not the enemy.
Right.
You know, that doesn't mean they're pristine, and that doesn't mean that they haven't done evil things. But what about the evil things that this country has done for 100 years?
Right. But even so, there's growing evidence that the Khazarian mafia and the globalists and the cabal have all operated out of Ukraine. That's the center of where all of this takeover of the world is located, including all the resources, the unbelievable resources that are available in Ukraine, as well as the biolabs, as well as the sex trafficking, as well as the
organ harvesting,
the pedophilia. And so much of that. And, you know, we see how many American statesmen and women have ties to the Ukraine, financial ties. And so I believe that if this is true, it would make so much sense that if Ukraine falls, it would be the fall of the New World Order, because essentially that is where the headquarters might just be, where everything has been going on for decades. You know, a number of months ago, Sherry, I got a link to a book that was found in the Fordham University Library that actually reviewed the bubonic plague back in the 12th century, I think it was. And they showed that the majority of deaths actually occurred throughout Europe, but very few in Ukraine and Poland. And eventually it was discovered that the true reason for the bubonic plague was the Khazarian Jews going around Western Europe, poisoning the wells so that people were dying of poisoning, and they were calling it a bubonic plague.
Oh.
And that the reason it didn't happen in Ukraine and Poland was because that's where the Khazarians lived. And so the idea that the Khazarians have been in that area of the world for centuries is not new and would make sense. And we've said this over and over again, that the playbook just keeps getting repeated over and over and over again. And much of the anti-Semitism grew out of the recognition that it was the Khazarian Jews who were responsible for poisoning the wells, and people were unable to distinguish the difference between Jews and Khazarians who pretended they were Jews, and thus began the Spanish Inquisition and so much of the anti-Semitism in Europe around that time. And so this is what I read out of this book. And I just, you know, it just, all of it's just starting to make too much sense. And that's why when I saw this thing about if the Ukraine falls, the New World Order falls, I went, oh, this makes too much sense. And Putin just is taking care of business, because Ukraine is right in their backyard. And, you know, the Ukraine has always been under Russian rule until last couple of decades, although some people still think it was still under Russian rule. So I think we're in for some really interesting times, and it looks like the Ukraine is going to fall, and that's why Biden went over there and gave $123 billion, knowing full well that none of that money has any value anyway, but nonetheless, it's coming right out of our pockets, certainly not going to the government. It's going to the Federal Reserve, which is then taking the money out. So anyway, so much for that positive information for you. So switching subjects, you saw the article and you actually posted this on our thread about this 30-year-old NFL star who retires at the age of 30. Miami Dolphins cornerback Byron Jones, 30, posted to Twitter about the pitfalls that somewhat offset the lucrative pay enjoyed by the players. And he said, "In my opinion, no amount of professional success or financial gain is worth avoidable chronic pain and disabilities." And his warning was, "Much has changed in 8 years. Today, I can't run or jump because of my injury sustained playing this game." And then he gave venomous insinuations. "Do not take the pills they give. Do not take the injections they give you. If you absolutely must, consult an outside doctor to learn the long-term implications." And so all of the sports that I've been listening to are focusing on the pain medicine injections. But I wonder if he's talking about the COVID injection. I wonder if it's his subtle way. And even if it isn't, I'm going to make it a story anyway, that he was trying to warn his colleagues, his fellow players, don't take the injections.
I don't know, Larry. I mean, it's just, you know, I said at the beginning of this year, well, let me go back even before that. And, you know, I've said it and I know you have. And, you know, the other five docs have all said that, you know, I mean, when I wrote the 40 Mechanisms of Injury book, that was in July of 2021. Can you believe that's coming on 2 years already? And you see, it's almost like drinking from a fire hose every single day. More and more documentation coming out that everything that I said back then, it was called the tinfoil hat conspiracy theory nut doctor who says that people get magnetic after they've had the shot, right? I kind of wish I was wrong. I did a Stu Peters segment yesterday and he was asking me about that. He was saying, you know, everything that you've said, all those things that you said and predicted, and even the timelines. So he asked me a question and I didn't answer it because I really don't know. He said, "The people that have taken two shots and at least one, if not more boosters, how long do you think they have to live?" I said, I can't say that. I said, all I do know for sure is the ones that have gotten the full bore shots, probably not long. You know, we don't know how many got what in what recipe, because there's a whole bunch of recipes. So we don't know who got what or in what combination. But the things that we do know is that, you know, the second and the third shots really do contribute to heart disease and myocarditis and, you know, cardiomyopathies and arrhythmias and all that stuff. And then there was that article that just came out from a couple of days ago. Was that new company, that new heart care company? We actually called them. I actually had an appointment with them and talked to them about their little gizmo. It's a piece of equipment. It's about the size of a briefcase that it measures echo. It's like a bedside echocardiogram. It also measures troponin levels. It can detect myocarditis. And out of the people that they went to this trade show and they detected all of them that have had at least one shot had myocarditis, including two pilots that they tested. And so I said, you know, I don't know, but the heart myocarditis can lead, it scars your heart and can lead to heart disease and sudden cardiac death. And the thing that concerns me the most, well, not the most, concerns me a lot, is that, you know, we're only 2 years into this, Larry. We're only 2 years into this. And look at the deaths that we've seen already. What was it? 96 more kids died in the last couple months. 96, you know, that have been vaccinated. Their parents murdered them by blindly trusting another human being. And they said, and those, I mean, What's going to happen in another 3, 4, 5, 7 years to those that are alive and are still getting boosters in terms of autoimmune disease? You know, now they're coming out with these really expensive, you know, autoimmune antibody blockers and all these other things because of this extensive autoimmune disease. And there was a report that came out a couple of weeks ago out of the UK, out of Europe, that there's some sort of thing that they stain with on autopsy. And they found that it appears as though that the spike, that the messenger RNA is continuing to replicate 17, 18, 19 months after it's been injected.
By design.
What's that?
By design.
By design, yeah. So we've got messenger RNA that's continuing to be propagated. You know, even if we had a commercially available blood test to measure spike proteins in the blood, we can't measure how much spike proteins have been embedded into tissue, heart, brain, lung, liver, kidney, all that stuff. You know, so all these people say, well, I need to, you know, take this remedy and it'll get the spike protein out of your system. Really prove it. Show me one evidence of proving it.
So I heard a disturbing bit of information related to that. And that is that they're already starting to incorporate the technology into the regular childhood and adult vaccines.
MMR is supposed to be the first one.
That's already in there. Mm. They're not telling us, but that's already in there. And Yeah, I'm speechless around that. I really am. I mean, there's no such thing as a vaccine anyway. But there's no such thing. There's no such thing as an injection that can prevent you from getting a disease.
Getting anything.
That's right. There's no such thing as an injection that prevents you from getting a disease.
Anything.
And this is one of the reasons I have a problem with the homeoprophylaxis issue, which I don't want to get into now because we're almost done. But because remember, everything about prevention of disease is based on the supposition that if there's a germ involved, you couldn't possibly have that germ in your body, and that there's no tissue in your body that is resembling the genetic structure of those organisms to begin with. And that falls short of being true by a number of miles. So therefore, the idea that the only way for you to get sick, the only way for you to have the germ, is if someone gives it to you, is a false preposition, is a false supposition, sorry. And therefore, by giving you an introduction of that through a needle, presumes that you couldn't possibly have that bug or organism in your body, and tries to assure you that there is no genetic similarity, no molecular mimicry between the genetic structure of that organism and any tissue that might be in your body. And we know that that's not true. So there cannot be any kind of injection or any kind of anything to prevent you from getting an illness. It's not possible. And once we start really seeing that, the whole house of cards has to start falling. Because again, as long as we believe that the germ, if the germ is what causes your illness, could not possibly be in your body, and that the only way to get you to not get sick is to give you an introduction of that germ through a needle, that's a problem. That's a real problem, because it's so wrong on so many levels. Especially since we know that microorganisms and tissues of the body share genetic structures, which is one of the reasons we're seeing so much autoimmunity, although we have no idea what else is in the regular shots to begin with. So,
yeah. Exactly. You know, that was one of the things that, you know, I was talking to somebody the other day and they were saying, you know, we're finding all these things in, I don't know, all kinds of medications. They're putting it in there now. And I go, I didn't know they haven't been doing that all along.
That's right.
We never looked. We never had reason to look because we trusted the FDA process. We trusted, you know, and standard good manufacturing processes that were, if there was something that they found that was just horrific, like, you know, that few years ago when they found the mold that was in, you know, all the different, the steroid shots, you know, and those people that got terribly sick. And so they tracked down in that factory and I was like, I don't know, we never looked any more than that. So, I mean, we never really looked. And we just assumed that the FDA was doing good things. And we assumed that these companies were doing good manufacturing processes because they didn't want to get audited and be charged with big fines and all this other stuff. No, maybe they've been doing it good all along.
But see, and you've heard me speak about this before. And I did speak about it on James Grundvig's show a week or so ago. Before 1986, the manufacturers were getting taken to the cleaners because people were receiving big rewards for liability for shots that were maiming, hurting, killing, impairing. And then once the 1986 Act was passed, there was no change in manufacturing process.
Nope.
So why all of a sudden did people think, or did they just ignore the fact that the safety was not going to change? So people were still going to get sick and die from these shots. And then when I first started seeing children with neurological deficits, and I'd see this severe hand flapping and mouth open and head shaking and grunting and running in circles and banging their head against the wall and nonverbal and rocking and, you know, wearing diapers at 15. I thought, wait a second. Now that we're suspicious, Sherry, that there's more in these shots that might be animalistic, parasitic, I've often wondered if that stuff has been in any of the lots for a long, long time.
For sure. I mean, we had no reason to look. And even if we wanted to look, we didn't know what to look for.
Right.
And everybody, just like I said, just trusted blindly. You know, that when you read the package insert, that was stuff that was really there. And I know now that we know for sure, we can pretty much say, we know that stuff is there, but what else is there that's not on that sheet? And has been there all along.
And it, you know, it really bothers me when people say thimerosal was taken out of vaccines, because in a technicality, that's incorrect. Because in 1999, when the American Academy of Pediatrics suggested the removal of thimerosal, not for any specific reason, even though we knew about the vaccine safety data link when the Simpsonwood conference came about in June of 2020, but it took them about 3 or 4 years for the lots that contained all of that thimerosal to get off the market.
And then, actually.
Yeah, 2004, right. So then they started saying it was trace thimerosal, and trace thimerosal was now in the shots. And then all of a sudden, it was no longer listed on the package inserts, because it was below the level to which they needed to mention it on the package insert. So because you don't see it on the package insert anymore, people think it couldn't possibly be in there, but it's in there, trace amounts. So
let me read something, Larry, that just goes along with what you said. This was a slide that I've used because I don't talk about this so much anymore. We used to. It's just confirming. It's just affirming what you said.
Yeah, please.
This came from a document from the World Health Organization, our good buddies, right? And I titled this slide, "The Language of Thimerosal." And they use different things. They call for, so just going to read it. removal. The removal of thimerosal means that thimerosal was used during the production of the vaccine and then removed at a certain stage of production. It also results in residual traces remain behind. The elimination of thimerosal indicates that thimerosal was not used in any stage of the production. This product is considered to be thimerosal free. Reduction of thimerosal means that thimerosal was used at some stage of the vaccine production. Reduction of thimerosal, even if significant, results in residual levels of thimerosal still in the product. Replacement of thimerosal means thimerosal is not used at all, but another preservative is used instead. There can be no thimerosal in the final product, but the other preservative, like 2-phenoxyethanol, aluminum, all that stuff could be there. And then reduction and replacement of thimerosal indicates that the amount of thimerosal used is reduced and another preservative is added. This means there are traces of both thimerosal and the other preservative in the product. So you go through and you read this, and I've often said, how do you remove something? I mean, you put it in this big vat and you mix it all up and you run it through a filter. Come on, there's got to be stuff that's still in there. And by their definition, there actually is. And another thing, when you were talking about it didn't really change the manufacturing processes. Do you recall, do you know when the acellular pertussis vaccine was actually invented, developed?
1940, 1950?
A little earlier than that. It was in the late 30s. So before they changed from whole cell pertussis, which was causing brain damage at every level, and that's where they were getting taken to task about, and they moved it over into acellular pertussis, where kids still get brain damage, but to a lesser degree. 62 years of journal articles that were published every single year showing the damage from whole cell pertussis vaccines before they started moving over and transitioning from whole cell into acellular pertussis. And whole cell pertussis vaccines are still used in the global market worldwide and are done in the combination vaccines of 4 or 5 at a single time. So they're still brain damaging and killing children all over the world with the whole cell pertussis shots.
Right. And it wasn't until like 1997, 98 when acellular pertussis was put into the pediatric schedule.
Here in the US.
Yes.
And they knew it was at least a modicum safer since the late 1930s. All of those children damaged, brain damaged, killed, seizure disorders, ADHD, brain cancer, probably all kinds of things.
Absolutely.
And so this whole thing that we see now with the whole COVID shot, and we've talked about it for going on 4 years now, you know, 20, 21, 22, 23, right? It's just all things that are hidden that are coming to light. And this pure evil of this entire industry has been around since Jenner, since, you know, 1798. We've been injecting foreign matter into human beings and somehow thinking that was supposed to do something good.
Again, so well said. And this idea that if you don't have the illness around you, the germ that causes that illness couldn't be around you is false. The fact that you have hundreds of trillions of organisms, but not the ones that we vaccinate against, come on, people. Just mathematical statistics could show you that the chances of being exposed to these organisms are much, much closer to 100% than anywhere close to less than 50%.
We got just a couple minutes left, Larry. There's just a couple questions in the chat or in the Q&A that I think we can answer quickly.
I do want to make one mention, though. Have you noticed that there's been no major news reports of the passing of President Jimmy Carter?
I didn't even know.
Yes. He was put in hospice last week and died a couple of days ago.
My goodness. I mean, no like big state funeral, no. And he was a Democrat, no less, right?
Let me just double check. Because I did see the article about hospice. last week, and I wanted to talk about it today, and I just saw somebody mention it. But I understand that he passed, and there's been no mention.
Wow.
Go ahead with the question.
Well, one is for you. Could you please repeat the name of the Miami player that you were talking about?
Byron Jones, B-Y-R-O-N.
Byron Jones, okay. Has anyone heard of supportive oligonucleotide therapy, SOT? Does it change the genes? I've not heard of it. Have you?
No.
Okay. So I hadn't heard of it. So I thought I'd ask because I thought I'd learn something from you. Is there a website to find local people and practitioners who have not taken the jab? No. And why would you do that? I mean, it's just like putting everybody in this pen that they could go and grab. I think that would be very dangerous. Do you wear shungite to protect from EMF?
Shungite, yeah.
Do you?
I keep it around me and I keep it on my computer. I keep it on my phone.
I've got little pieces of it sitting over there on my computer.
Here's one I have right here.
I have one, this one. And it sits down here. And when I'm sitting here, I keep my phone on it.
Yep.
So, yeah. Any advice? No, we can't give individual personal advice. Sorry, guys. Can't do that. Let me see. Do you know if there can be a legal cause of action for being non-shot coded? Oh, you mean like using the Z codes in your medical records? No. I mean, that's just the way they are. It's just part of the ICT-10 codes. If you guys haven't listened to, go back into the archives or become, you know, the lowest level of our premium podcast members. If you go to drtenpenny.com and hover over the podcast area, we have four levels of membership. And I always say it's like a level, you know, how much time you have and how much, you know, what your budget is to be able to support us. But we did an interview 3 weeks ago now, I think, with Twyla Braze that was just blow it out of the park. And on my Monday night, Bridey on TV show that I do now Monday night at 7 o'clock, we're going to start doing some things with Twyla like once a month to have her talk about all of the horrific stuff with electronic medical records and tracking kids and all these things that are coming up. I mean, she is a wealth of information.
For those of you who want to look at her website, it's mostly for practitioners, but the website is jointhewedge.com. Jointhewedge.com.
Yeah, very good.
It does appear that I did see that Jimmy Carter was placed in hospice, but I don't believe he has passed away. I don't believe.
He's got to, what is in the 90s, right?
99, I think.
Wow, yeah.
I know he was put in hospice last week, but no, he has not passed away. Sherry, back in 2002, I made a decision that I would never use electronic medical records again. This is 21 years ago. Never use medical records again. I would never offer shots in my office, but if people wanted to get them, they could get them elsewhere, that I would never have hospital privileges again. I would never take insurance again. And I was going to base my practice on the practice of Western medicine without the use of pharmaceuticals and without the use of injections.
When was that?
2002, October of 2002.
I did some 1996. Actually, yeah. It was 94, actually, was when I opened my first office. All I did was osteopathic manipulation and acupuncture. When I moved to Cleveland and opened this center in 96, never participated in Medicare, Medicaid, never took any form of insurance, never did electronic medical records, never did any shots. And the only pharmaceuticals that we usually ever prescribe are thyroid things. That's the only, you know, I think I've got 4 patients in my office that are on long-term narcotics for various things. We've tried all kinds of other stuff. Nothing else has worked. And that's about it. You know, that's it. But, you know, I would say, oh, and bioidentical hormones. We also prescribe bioidentical hormones, but you know, we have adult practice, you got kids. So, yeah. So, you know, the only way, and you know, all these people, and Larry, I know you've been on a lot of these calls too, that I just refuse to be on them anymore, because all these people that are like, we want to have a new healthcare system and we just think it'd be so great. And don't you come and join us and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I've been on countless ones and everybody wants the same thing. They want to put lipstick on a pig. They want it to look exactly like it is, except function better. And, and until we can get off our dependence on insurance,
yes,
nothing's ever going to change. Nothing. So with that, my friend.
Yeah, I so agree with you. But I do believe, and I'm holding out for the resurrection of Western medicine before the Flexner Report. I'm holding out. Let those who want insurance, let those who want drugs, let those who want shots, go in good health, you know, but I still believe that there's a growing population. See, you sneezed on a statement. That means it's true. There's an old, old, old wise tale that says when you sneeze on a statement, that means it's true. So.
Well, there you go. I sneezed twice. So it's double truth.
The whole time.
It's double truth.
I believe that we will be able to resurrect. We will be able to resurrect the pre-Flexner Report medicine. And I'm a dreamer, and you know I'm a dreamer. I have a whole load of optimism around that. So we'll see what transpires.
All right. Good night, everybody. Larry, one more thing. Don't forget Cardio Miracle.
Okay.
Don't forget Cardio Miracle.
Hi, Cookie and Heather. Thank you. Dr. T, thank you. We have cardiomiracle.com, CT15 for 15% off your first order. Take it, investigate it, explore it, try it, have the experience yourself. Don't just believe us. It's a good product, cardiomiracle.com. We will see you next week for another episode of Critically Thinking with Dr. T and Dr. P.
I will not be here next week, Larry. Yeah, because all of you guys are in California. The 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th in Ventura, California. The 8th is Wednesday night at Godspeak Church in California. We're having a big, big, big event to launch our ECP clinic in Ventura, California. So that's next Wednesday night. It will also be live streamed. If you're on our email list and you're following any of the stuff I'm doing on podcasts this week and next week, that's Wednesday night at Godspeak Church. Thursday night, there is an event that is going to be in Santa Barbara. We just tonight, I don't know, Cookie, if you know off the top of your head, but they just determined tonight where that location was going to be, about 100 people that were going to be in a location in Santa Barbara. That's on Thursday night. On Friday night, there is a fundraiser for PERC that I'm going to be speaking at, and that's also going to be launching it. But our official opening of our Ventura ECP clinic, that's called ECP Studio, ecpstudio.com. ECP Studio is next Saturday, March the 11th from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. in Ventura, California. If you go to ecpstudio.com, all the information is on there. You can find out where the address is and come and join us. It's going to be a lot of fun.
All right. Good night, everybody. Enjoy the spring.
Good night. See you.